Hi, I'm Ranger James Osborne, and welcome to Golden Gate Climate Update, your source for information on climate change and sustainability. This episode is a continuation of our discussion with Dr. Robert Cahalan, head of NASA's Climate and Radiation Branch at Goddard Space Flight Center. But before we get back to Bob, it's time for the answer to our climate update challenge. The Maunder Minimum was a period of 70 years between 1645 and 1715, when the sun was unusually inactive and Europe had a little ice age. The period began 36 years after Galileo first observed sunspots. This minimum was identified and named by the eminent scientist John Eddy, who died in June 2009. There is now a petition circulating to name the current solar minimum, which has so far lasted a year longer than expected, after Jack Eddy. Now back to Dr. Cahalan. So Bob, what do you consider to be the biggest threats of global warming to the whole planet and humanity in the next 50 years?
Well, if we look out 50 years, first of all, our climate models cannot predict what will happen in detail. If we look at different models and we look, say, at something like soil moisture over the United States, which is something that our plants and agriculture depend on, different models give different answers over the United States. But the droughts we've seen in the West could easily extend over a broader area and impact our crops, and that is shown in many of the models. And so that certainly will be an issue for food supply, and we should keep in mind when we're thinking of our Canadian friends that it could be that they have a climate more conducive to agriculture in 2050 than we do. But let's think about, say, 20 different climate models, and this is what we tend to do, is we'll take 20 different models from different groups around the world, and we'll try to forecast what happens in 2060. And we get some differences between those models over the scales like the whole United States. But all of the models are predicting warming, so there is a general agreement on the larger scales. The bigger uncertainty is the uncertainty in what to assume people are going to do. What will our population be? And most of the models assume that our population will level out at something under 10 billion. We're already at almost 6.7 billion people. What's harder to know is what will people decide to do about their lifestyles and their use of energy. The United States right now is the largest per capita emitter of carbon dioxide, which is a major greenhouse warming gas. There's talk of going in the United States and in other places to more reliance on so-called renewable energy, solar, wind, geothermal, others. If we look at scenarios where we rely more on our energy from those other sources and less on, for example, coal, then we don't get as extreme a warming. So that uncertainty between whether we get all of our new energy from coal or get much of our new energy from renewable sources of all kinds is a bigger uncertainty than the uncertainty between the different models.
So it sounds like, regardless of how well the models agree, it's what we do as individuals and governments that really matters in how extreme climate change will be. Given that, do you have any suggestions for what our listening audience can do to slow global warming?
Well, first of all, we do need to pay attention to government policies, state by state. If you have a national park in your state, the park is playing a key role in preserving threatened species. I recommend people pick a species that's threatened and adopt it. I have my own I like, which is the bog turtle, which used to be very common in Chesapeake watershed, but bogs are drying up, so they're threatened. So these kind of impacts are different in different places, but they're things that are happening commonly globally. And we can only find solutions by changing government policies and by cooperative work with other people. It may seem that we're helpless in some ways, but we just need to remind ourselves we got into this problem of global warming by a lot of small decisions and small steps. And I think we get out of it the same way. We make a lot of small decisions in the right direction, and we be patient. And over the next few decades, we're going to move away from this problem.
Well, with that encouragement, I hope you're all inspired to get involved and do your part in doing the right thing. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Thank you.
Please join our next podcast when we will be interviewing Dr. Emily Lim, who studies how the ferns, shrubs, and trees of the redwood forest may be affected by climate change. Until our next podcast, this is James Osborne. Thanks for listening.
Golden Gate Climate Update is produced by Will Elder and is a product of the Earth to Sky program, an innovative partnership between the National Park Service and NASA.